360 The Quest. Your Atlantic Catholic Radio presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. My name is Josh Harris. I'm joined by, well, you know my name. That nice gentlemanly fellow.
Gentlemanly. Listen to that one.
Nice gentleman said it in the intro. Hey, before we get any further, let's start this thing off the holy way. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm going to say a very simple prayer, the serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And help us realize that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. That's 1 John 4:18. Jesus' name we pray, in name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Mother Mary,
pray for us. Beautiful choice of prayer.
Oh, thank you. And Allison, it's great to have you back in the saddle again after you were being a great mom yesterday.
Trying.
You had a sick kid too.
Yeah, well, you know, my youngest has not been feeling well. She's she has congestion, and actually she's back home again today. Her throat is kind of sore. And then my oldest, who's very, who's involved with sports, she actually, I had to bring her to the chiropractor because her calf muscle has been acting a little bit wacky. So she's been getting adjusted. So yeah, just a lot of things happening.
Yeah. I think about this comedian. I love this. She talks about how no matter what age you are, you always need your mom, right? That just doesn't stop. So, you know, she's married, and she talks about how the first call whenever she's sick, always her mom, you know, her husband's, you know, and if her mom comes over, she'll look at her husband and he's like, hey, is there anything I can do for you? She's like, yeah, take this tea bag and give it to my mom. Because, you know, you just want your mom at the driver's seat, right?
Yeah, no, totally. But, yeah.
I think about this, too. Like, I want to be a man. I want to be a grown man. I want my mom to treat me like a man, unless I'm sick or she's buying, right?
I know. I love when you talk about those situations when you're not feeling well, when you're at your mom's and she's taking good care of you.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. And, you know, she'll blow me up a bunch, and I'm like, hey, mom, we got to chill out on the telethon that you're, you know, having on my phone all the time, all these calls. I'm okay. Everything's okay. And she's like, well, I just wanted to let you know I'm going to the store and see if you wanted anything. I'm like, yeah, Cocoa Puffs. You know?
Oh, Josh.
the tune changes really quickly, right? I don't eat Cocoa Puffs, but
when you were a child, did you eat Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah. And you know, the best part of those cereals is when it made your milk, like just sugar milk or whatever, it was left over.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I remember those days. We didn't eat Cocoa Puffs. I'm trying to think what kind of sweet cereals we ate.
I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You remember? Did you do that?
We didn't eat it, but my kids enjoy that. You know, maybe Fruit Loops. Maybe we had Fruit Loops.
You know, I mean, let's be real. They say, and I heard a stand-up student that I taught discuss this in one of his routines. That whole part of a balanced breakfast.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
I mean, yeah, it's like Fruity Pebbles, really? I mean, look, they're delicious, but I'm just saying, like, there might be some other choices that are a little healthier. But you know what this makes me think about is how much Jesus must have loved his mom.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Somebody told me this recently, and I thought this was such a great apologetic response. If you have somebody who's kind of challenging you for your love of Mary, right? Why do you Catholics love Mary so much? You know, a great response is, you know what? No matter what, I'll never love her more than Jesus did.
And it's so true when you really think about that.
Yeah.
The mother's love and how much she loved Jesus and how much he loves her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so mutual. So the admiration and love we have for Our Lady is, it's really obvious.
Absolutely.
You know? It really is obvious. She doesn't take over Jesus. No, she's the mom.
She's the mom, etched in the narrative of Scripture. Right.
Yes.
And again, that and a pro-life message, too. When is Jesus first recognized? In the womb.
Mm-hmm.
He could have come down on a lightning bolt. He chose to sanctify and, you know, the family, right? He could have come down anyway, and yet he chose to have a mother, a heroic mother, right? So again, maybe today is a reminder, call your mom, tell her you love her.
Love it.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Our buddy Father Mark White discusses the Courage Conference Made for More. You're going to want to hear about that. It's absolutely so inspiring. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with an amazing saint. Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior, unpacks the gospel reading. But next, Teresa Ebbs, Mother's Club Chair at St. Pius X, will be talking about their 31st annual Christmas market at St. Pius, taking place Saturday, November 22nd.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are so delighted to have you here, Teresa, talking about this exciting event. And what blows my mind is I understand this year is the 31st annual holiday marketplace at St. Pius. So could you share with us how the marketplace got started and how it has evolved over the years?
So I'm actually an alumni of St. Pius, and we started it my freshman or sophomore year. The Mother's Club was involved and had probably about 20 vendors in our cafeteria.
Yeah,
is where it got started that year. And then it's now grown to where we fill our cafeteria. We fill our front gym, and we fill a back gym, as well as our breezeway of the school. And we have over 150 vendors now.
Wow. No, that is absolutely amazing. And I think about it, what a great opportunity for people that are trying to find a gift or actually help trying to support great Catholic places, right?
Absolutely. It's a great way to have do your small business
yes.
shopping and support artists and, you know, getting a unique gift.
Absolutely. Not like you would get in the store. So what is the mission behind that marketplace? And, you know, what does the Mother's Club hope to achieve for the school and the community?
So this, all of our proceeds, it is a fundraiser. All of our proceeds from our booth fees to our ticket raffle sales, everything, it all goes towards student scholarships.
Nice.
To make our, Catholic high school more affordable for families and to allow more students to attend that might not be able to otherwise attend St. Pius.
What a great opportunity. Because, yeah, everybody doesn't have the funds, right, to go to the school. So how awesome that this money goes towards those scholarships.
That's right. We have over the course of it usually raises about $50,000
wow.
for scholarships each year.
Yeah.
And we continue to want to, you know, keep pressing and adding more vendors and more opportunities. We actually have a bake sale that parents, you know, bring in items for. We also have lunch available in
oh
our cafe
gosh.
With Father Lopez soup. So it's always a big seller.
Yeah.
And we also have we sell casseroles. So you can buy frozen casseroles that our mothers have prepared and bring it home. It makes a great holiday kind of midweek meal. You don't have to worry
yes.
about while you're thinking about Thanksgiving.
Yes. No,
yeah.
I cannot believe that. All of those different things. I mean, you can make that just a beautiful event with your mom, with your friends, getting lunch and having food there too. That is unbelievable.
It's really a whole day. I mean, you come and shop at,
yes.
it opens at 9. There's always lots of long lines at 9. So if you wait till, you know, a little bit later, there won't be the lines to come in. But we have the 4 different entrances around campus, and the back entrance is always the busiest.
Yeah.
But if you come in one of the side entrances, you're going to be happier because it will, the lines won't be so long.
Do you ever do a head count of the attendees? Like how many people?
Okay. We have roughly 1,500 or more. Every person that comes in gets a reusable shopping tote.
Oh my gosh!
And so that's kind of how we keep track of how many have come in. So we know that we have at least that many.
Do you have a favorite? Like, I guess I don't want to say favorite quote because you know, but are there some vendors you're like, wow, this really speaks to my heart. Every year I got to go to this table.
Something. We have some vendors who have been returning, I mean, for 15 to 20 years,
wow.
some of them. And some of my favorites are usually connections to the school. So we have a grandmother who is a beautiful artist, and she does ornaments and other portraits. And she comes from Ohio every year
wow.
and she has a bunch of grandchildren at the school. So she's a special one, as well as we have a mom who has put her, I think she has four children, and she does nautical nativities.
Yeah.
And she makes oysters using oyster shells to make nativity scenes. They're perfect for my parents live at the beach, and so it's a great gift for, you know, people who are beach lovers, and just kind of a unique gift. And it's so awesome to have somebody who's both her kids, you know, her children have gone to school there, and then she continues to come back to our sale.
I just love hearing it. Is such, it seems like you guys have such a family there. You know, you were a student there years ago. It seems like everybody just sticks with it and stays active in there, even if they're no longer attending the school. It just seems like a happy family there.
St. Pius is a very unique and special place. We have, I forget how many teachers are alumni.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, I don't know if it's half, but it is a lot. And so it's a really, you know, unique community in that people keep coming back. And there, I mean, there's also, you know, we're pretty welcoming to new families as well.
Yes.
So, you know, it's all, you know, this is an event that's open to the community. And I always like to say that, you know, you never know who's going to come to our event.
Yes.
Go shopping and then think, oh, maybe this is somewhere that I might want to send my children to school one day.
Yes.
And so
you're setting an example.
That's
you're
right.
You're absolutely setting an example. So for maybe those first time shoppers, what would you tell them to bring or expect to do the most and get the most out of their day at this beautiful event?
So we are, we're actually a cashless event. So while the vendors might take cash, we do not take cash at our door. You have to have a credit card to get in, or you can buy your ticket online at the St. Pius website. I would really suggest that if you want to avoid the crowds, that you shop later in the afternoon. I think people go home and start watching football or whatever, and I'm sure there's some big game in the afternoon, but if you could skip the football game and come around, you know, noon or 1 o'clock, you've got a little more space in the aisles and more relaxing shopping experience.
Oh, that is so nice. So do you have a favorite memory from a past marketplace, maybe a vendor story, a longtime supporter, or a surprise moment that captures the spirit of the event?
So, I mean, like I said, I was an alumni of the school, and so anytime I ever see any of my former classmates, that's always such a special thing. We've had, you know, one of my classmates was just inducted into the St. Pius Athletic Hall of Fame.
Wow.
She's an amazing cross country and track runner.
Yeah.
And she and her mother are always at the event, and I always get to see them. And so it's a really cool thing to, you know, but kind of blast from the past and see different people. And that's definitely my favorite part. It's just,
my gosh,
you know, seeing people that I haven't seen in 15,
reunions,
20 years.
Right? Reunions. You know, and since they're a Catholic school and community, how does the marketplace connect the values of the school? Hospitality, service, community, and generosity, which you've been talking so much about, the generosity.
This event is completely 100% volunteer run. So we have all of our mothers as well as fathers who participate in the event, making it successful. We have a tremendous number of our students participate.
Yeah.
And they is that is well as helping the vendors set up. They serve in the bake sale. They serve in the just kind of wandering around, helping the vendors throughout the day. The vendors like our show because we have a hospitality room where they're able to come and grab a snack before they you know, start the day, or in the middle of the day they, you know, run and get some coffee and, you know, stay caffeinated and ready for all of the shoppers. So it is really a great event, as well as we do have some of our vendors have religious items, rosaries and other sorted vendors who are, you know, specifically targeted Catholic, you know, merchandise.
That's great. So what's one message you love every attendee to leave with at the end of the day? Something more than just, I got great gifts, but something deeper than just shopping, right?
I mean, I hope that if it's their first time coming to St. Pius, that they come onto our campus and realize what a, you know, special place it is. You know, it is absolutely Christ-filled in every step of the way. Just, you know, every interaction they have with our students or our parents or volunteers, that they come away feeling pleasant. and happy and think, gee, I maybe I want to, like I said, come back
my
and
child there,
visit,
right?
And maybe it makes sense for my children to come to school here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So where can we go to get more information about the date, time, location, and ticket information? If there are tickets that you need to get, or is it just a fee to get in?
You can get your tickets ahead of time. I think you get extra raffle tickets if you come, if you order online.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you can just show up and buy tickets at the door. But if you go to spx.org, which is the St. Pius website, there's a place you can go and click on it, and takes you straight to our marketplace page and information. And if you're into social media, we have a presence on Instagram as well as Facebook, where we're highlighting the vendors that are going to be there and all of our sponsors that have helped sponsor our event. So you can kind of get more information about that and learn more about, you know, the event.
That is so great. And we just had our Atlanta's Funniest Priest there, and it was such a beautiful, beautiful school. Great environment.
Thank you. Yes, we love it there. We have, like I said, I've been a part of the community now for 30 plus years myself. So
no, that is so, so great. So any last comment that you want to get to put that last push out there for people to come and attend this wonderful market?
I just look forward to seeing you all on Saturday. It's going to be a great show. It's very convenient, right off of 85 at Shalliford Road, and there will be signs all over, directing people where to park. And so I look forward to seeing you all there.
We are so happy to have Teresa Ebbs here. Again, you are the Mother's Club chairperson at St. Pius, talking about this amazing Christmas market at St. Pius the 10th. Hope everybody goes to attend.
Thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
We've got an action-packed show for you guys today. We are so thrilled. Father White is unpacking Made for More, the Courage Conference, taking place. And our buddy Chuck Perzer is going to help us get acquainted with St. Hackaborn. But next, Father Adam Blatt, Pastor of Christ, our King and Savior, unpacks the gospel reading.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Back to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
If you'd like to comment on something you've heard on The Morning Quest or make a suggestion, send us an email to themorningquest@thequestatlanta.com.
The Morning Quest continues on AM 1160, The Quest.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ our King and Savior in Greensboro, is back, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Today's gospel is with Luke, and it's a long one, so let's jump right in.
Okay.
While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, a nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins, and told them, engage in trade with these until I return. His fellow citizens, however, despised him, and sent a delegation after him to announce, we do not want this man to be our king. But when he returned, after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called, to whom he had given the money, to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones. He replied, well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came and reported, your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more. And to this servant, too, he said, you take charge of 5 cities. Then the other servant came and said, sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant. He said to him, with your own words, I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in the bank? Then, on my return, I would have collected it with interest. And to those standing by, he said, take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he has 10 gold coins. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me. After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. So, that's a mouthful.
That is.
It's a long one. Today's gospel, we have Jesus basically telling the parable, well not basically, he is telling the parable of a nobleman who basically goes away, gets a kingship, leaves his servants with a sum of money, what's called a mina, if I'm pronouncing that right, M-I-N-A. And the command to them is to engage in trade until I return. So when he comes back, some of the servants invested what was given, multiplied it, and one servant, of course, out of fear, as we see, hides the coin in the cloth. And the master praises those who are faithful, fruitful, and rebukes the one who did nothing. So this parable is not really about the money. The parable is about trust. It's about responsibility. And to show us that God has entrusted each and every one of us with that gold coin, or in this case, with the gifts that he's given us, our faith, our talent, our time, our opportunities to love. And maybe, I mean, for some, maybe the literal gold coins, who knows, treasure, you know, finances, whatever the case may be. Whatever gifts you have, be assured that they were given to you by God. And they weren't given to you to be sat on and to be squandered. The question is, what are you going to do with them, right? Mm. We have to ask ourselves, are we using our gifts boldly for the glory of God, or do we hide them away out of fear, because, or out of comfort, or indifference? You know, maybe you have a gift and you're like, I don't really care, until you don't do nothing with it. Maybe you have a gift and you're like, well, if I use this gift, I'm going to be very uncomfortable, or it's going to be very awkward to do this for the glory of God, or I might not be popular, you know, and so we don't use it. But brothers and sisters, I've said this in the past, I said this a couple weeks ago, discipleship is not passive.
Yes.
Discipleship has to be active. It's not something, I've said this over and over again, it's not something we put on a shelf and just take down when we want to use it.
Yeah.
Our faith, our discipleship, Jesus expects you to do something with the grace that you've been given. The gifts, the grace you're given is never for you. Mm. It is always for you to use for someone else, to see the light, the love of God through you. That kingdom, we talk about building the kingdom of God here on earth, that kingdom grows, it only grows when we act in faith, when we take risks for the gospel, when we live our calling generously and courageously in this world. And that's what every one of us are called to do, to be that servant with the 10 coins.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and I use this quote all the time, the St. Catherine of Siena quote, where she says, be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I gave a talk at Holy Spirit to their Life Teen group, and that was one of the quotes I shared when referring especially to my story and my conversion through God's grace, freedom from addiction, all that stuff. And there was this person who was a volunteer there came up to me after, and I just said, well, do you have any prayer requests? We were talking, and she said, you know, you said this thing about setting the world on fire. If you could just pray that for me, that would be great. So I ended up actually giving this person a rosary book a week or two later. This I love it. I think it is such a beautiful blueprint to pray the rosary. And I wrote in there the quote, and then underneath it, I wrote, here's a match.
Josh.
I was pretty proud of that one.
That might make a homily. That's going to make one of my homilies.
Oh, there you go. I can't wait to hear it.
That's a good visual.
That's
a pretty good visual.
But you know what's amazing, Father and Josh? I mean, I've heard people say, you know what? I can't make a difference. I'm in my own little part of the, you know, my world, right? And wherever we are, whether it's our families, whether it's at church, whether it's at school, we are called to be a light and to use those gifts and those talents wherever we are. It's, you know, it's not just a Sunday thing.
Right. You know, I want to say something about that, you know, because I hear that too. People who think I can't make a difference.
Mm.
And I want to point out, if that's you, if you're listening and you think, you know, God gave me this gift or that gift, but, you know, I'm just this little person in my own little world and I can't make a difference in building the kingdom. Let me tell you first, that is a lie from Satan.
Yes. Mm.
That is just simply not true. That's the first thing you have to understand, is that you can make a difference. The second thing you have to understand is, I know that it can be misleading or even discouraging when we think about making a difference for God and not affecting maybe the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see the magnitude and the impact that Christ had, that saints had, that the disciples had, that all these massive holy religious figures have throughout history, and we think, oh, well, for me to use my gifts, it has to look like that. No. One, that's another lie from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
One, it doesn't have to look like that. Your gift and what you do and the difference you make, maybe it doesn't impact the world, but maybe it impacts a single person. And that's all the difference you need to make. Because maybe that single person who had a difference made to them, who saw the light of Christ in them because of you,
yes.
Maybe that person ended up coming back to the church, coming back to the faith. Maybe that person changed their life, raised their children in the faith,
mm-hmm.
and that kid now becomes a priest and is the Pope. All because of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have no
you know
idea.
What I mean?
We have no idea.
Yeah.
We are called to just be fruitful and share. And
you,
yes.
The littlest thing you do for Christ can have a consequences in a good way on a massive cosmic scale that you have no idea of until you're one with Jesus and you see the big picture. But yeah, don't think for a second. When you start thinking. That I can't make a difference. I can't use my gifts to make a difference.
Yeah.
That's the devil attacking you because he knows your gifts are very powerful.
And that might be a good takeaway, Father.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a poignant thing. And Father, your story just hit me in the heart because there's a mentor of mine who shares this story with me. There was a gentleman, I guess he was supposed to be an evangelist. He goes to some place in Asia, toils his whole life to spread the gospel, converts one person. And you think, wow. Massive failure. That one person converted 50,000 people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about the one person who was Mother Teresa's Sunday school teacher.
Mm.
You know, and thought, "Who's this little girl? You know, she's just going to grow up like all the rest of them, you know, or whatnot." And look what she ended up being.
Amen.
You never know. You never know how your gifts affect someone.
I love it.
Yeah, and by the way, on that, and I'd have to. This is a reflection or a conversation for another reading. I think that Saint John Paul the Great's catechism instructor is a venerable now. And again,
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I believe so, and that's another thing to unpack later. But he just served in the lane that he was in, and did.
Well, also got to remember that whoever was teaching him. So John Paul went through seminary in the underground because of the resistance in Poland. So his instructors would have been. I mean, they literally would have put their life on the line for just to teach them.
Wow.
Wow. Amen. Well, thank you.
Unless you're talking about like his kindergarten instructor, that's different.
That I'll have to look into. But
yeah.
It's just a reminder.
Depending on which one.
We just have to give God our humble yes. Thank you so
that's
much.
That's right. Absolutely.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ our King and Savior, for another fantastic gospel reflection.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. Something surprising is happening in New York's Catholic parishes. Wow, this is a welcome twist. Priests say the number of adults seeking to enter the church is soaring.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the word. Soaring. It's St. Joseph's in Greenwich Village. Father Jonah Teller says their OCIA class has tripled since last year, reaching about 130 people.
Wow.
And by the way, St. Vincent Ferrara on the Upper East Side has doubled its numbers, now close to 90. And at the Basilica of St. Patrick's Old Cathedral, they've doubled too, with around 100 adults preparing for baptism and confirmation. And get this, it's so many that priests are considering adding more masses.
Nice. That's exciting.
Yeah, so you may wonder why the surge. Well, the New York Post says that many young New Yorkers say they're searching for stability, meaning, and community in a fractured world. So after the personal loss, you know, others, some came after personal loss, others after success left them empty.
Mm.
Wow. And by the way, one convert told the Post, materially we have everything, but it's not reaching our hearts.
And you think about that, New York City, right? When I was growing up, I wanted to go and be an independent saleswoman in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, but you need it in the heart.
Yeah, trying to fill a God-sized hole.
Amen.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Father White discusses the Courage Conference made for more. But next, our buddy Chuck Persian helps us get acquainted with St. Hackaborn.
AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is the Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Who's on the agenda today, Chuck?
Oh, Josh, this morning we feature the Nightingale of Christ, as
nice.
She was called, St. Mechtild of Hackaborn. Mechtild von Hackenborn Wippra was born in the castle of Helfta in Saxony, Germany, in the year 1241 to a noble family.
Nice.
Her father was actually the Baron of Hackaborn Wippra, and he owned a lot of land. big landowner at the time, and Mechtild was the younger sister of Gertrude of Hackeborn, who was the abbess of the convent of St. Mary of Helfde for 40 years.
Wow.
When Mechtild was 7 years old, she visited her older sister, who was, as mentioned, in the convent. She had such a great experience there that she begged them to allow her to permanently stay at age seven. Imagine that. And Mechtild would soon get her wish and joined her sister at the convent of St. Mary. Later that year, around the age of seven, maybe 8 years old, she would move in to a convent and live with the sisters.
Really?
So holiness was her call from a very early age, just attracted to it from the very beginning. She was known to have a beautiful singing voice. And in fact, during one of her visions of Jesus, he called her the Nightingale, hence her nickname, the Nightingale of Christ. St. Mechtild used her immense gift, this beautiful singing voice, to train the convent choir, which had about 60 nuns, and she was their director as a young woman.
Wow.
She had to teach chant to all of the novices. She kept the liturgical books in order, and she supervised the library. So she was clearly assigned many critical tasks as a young girl. The monastery at Helfde had a reputation for having very holy and well-educated nuns. There were many visitors to St. Mary of Helfde. They traveled from great distances to receive spiritual advice from the sisters. And of all the sisters, it was said that St. Mechtild was known as being most well-educated in scripture and liturgy. So she was their go-to woman in many respects.
Wow.
For counsel. Great spiritual gift of counsel. She instructed the other nuns as she gained experience and maturity and knowledge and wisdom, and they gathered around her from all sides to listen. So here was a woman who was just attractive in many, many different ways, spiritually attractive. During her years at St. Mary's of Helfde, St. Mechtild witnessed a civil war that brought many sorrows to the people of her region. So certainly not averse to or unfamiliar with sorrow. In the year 1291, 7 years before she died, she did suffer a serious prolonged illness. So in the waning moments of her life, really more than the waning moments of her life, the last 7 years of her life.
7 years.
She did deal with this prolonged illness. And during this time, she became so full of the Holy Spirit that she began to pour out these experiences and visions. And this is really what she's most known for. She suffered intense pain at times during these years. She had terrible migraine headaches. The abbess instructed two nuns, and one was, in fact, St. Gertrude, the woman who would go on to become known as St. Gertrude the Great, a woman we have actually featured in prior segments, to question St. Mechtild about her visions and then record what she told them. And the book is entitled The Book of Special Grace. And this book included descriptions of St. Mechtild's visions, the special graces she received from God, and her teachings on how to have a true devotion to the Lord and to just live a virtuous life. The book describes an ideal Christian community at work, thriving, one that is centered on the Mass and the divine office of prayer. St. Mechtild did not know until later in the process that her visions were being recorded for her book, and it was revealed to her by divine revelation. Interestingly enough, it was Jesus himself who would come to her in a vision wherein Mechtild saw beams of light streaming from the heart of Jesus into the hearts of the two nuns who were writing the book. What a vision.
Wow.
And Jesus also showed St. Mechtild the book's physical appearance, even though she had never seen it. In her vision, Jesus was holding the book of her revelations for her to see, revealing it to her, almost like the book of life being opened before you, as we sometimes picture during Judgment Day. And Jesus said to her through this private locution, and I quote, "All this has been committed to writing by my will and inspiration, and therefore you have no cause to be troubled about it." So any concern she may have had, because, you know, these saints are so humble, they don't, they rarely put themselves first. They're always on the lookout for pride. But all those fears were allayed. St. Mechtild approved of the work her religious sisters had done. She was also able to edit the book before she died in the year 1298. Her devotion to the heart of Christ was woven throughout her writings. And in many respects, she was a precursor to some of the other great saints who took the baton and ran with it. Talking about St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, St. John Eudes, some of the other saints that we associate with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And this is now a very popular devotion. The entire month of June, in fact, is devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And for good reason, for from it flows the ocean of mercy, love, and grace. So there you have a little bit on the fascinating life of St. Mechtild.
So you're saying that Jesus revealed to her the depth of his Sacred Heart centuries before the devotion was formally spread by St. Margaret Mary Alacoque.
That is correct. And, you know, we tend to think of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque when we think of this devotion, for very good reason. But we see here that St. Mechtild was a precursor to this tremendous devotion, this popular
devotion. So she was the original, or the OG, as they say.
Possibly, yeah. I think we could say that, yep.
That's incredible. And just to think about the influence she had on St. Gertrude the Great as well.
Yes. Yeah. St. Gertrude the Great, a favorite saint of mine who I call upon every day at Mass because she is the one who's attributed to the prayer wherein when we offer it, 1,000 souls are released from purgatory. That's the prayer, the precious blood prayer. And for our listeners who don't know it, I could recite it quickly. It takes just a few seconds.
How's it go?
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and those within my family. So as you can see at the tail end of that prayer has been extended to the universal church.
Wow.
But to me, it's a prayer wherein we really focus on, and I pray it when the priest raises the cup.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's my hope that it provides much consolation. And in my thoughts, I feel as though like it's the precious blood of Jesus like raining down on the souls in purgatory to soothe them, to cleanse them, to give them some temporary relief. And then we ask for our Lord, who is so generous, to release 1,000 souls every time we pray it.
Well, this is certainly the season to be praying for those in purgatory.
It really is. It's perfect timing because we enter the month of, we're in the month of November, I should say. And, you know, we've got, the Catholic Church chooses a different devotion every month. And we pray for the dead in the month of November. Looking back, we had that beautiful 3-day stretch of All Hallowtide. And the station ran a lot of great segments to describe exactly what that all entails. And now here we are in November. Great month to visit cemeteries. Just have a nice feel to them. You know, we're in the autumn air, praying for the dead. It's, as we know from Second Maccabees, it is a good and righteous thing to pray for the dead. And of course, for those who don't believe in purgatory, I would question them in that regard, because why would it be a good and holy thing to pray for the dead? Because if the dead are in hell, the prayers can't help them. And if the dead are in heaven, they don't need them.
Hey, how about this quote by her? When I sing to thee, O Lord, thou art my song.
There you go. And there, a nod to her beautiful voice. I figured you'd enjoy this saint.
Yeah.
Josh is someone who loves music and said to have had such a beautiful voice. So she certainly took that gift and ran with it at a young age. Again, teaching all the other nuns to sing and teaching them chant. So we tend to think of Saint Cecilia, who's the patron saint of musicians in that situation. But another great saint for our young listeners who are listening. Perhaps you're in the choir, you're in the band playing an instrument, or maybe you're in your own band. Great saint to call upon for intercession.
Fantastic. One more heading your way, buddy. And this kind of gets to the Sacred Heart concept. This is, I guess, an authentic quote, but maybe with a little bit of translational liberties, if I'm correct. But it says that the heart of Jesus is an unfathomable abyss of tenderness and love.
Yes, yes, great quote. Very similar to some of the things that St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who we previously mentioned, captured in many of her journals. And it is this great ocean of mercy, love. And, you know, mercy is better than justice. We know that. And we all seek our Lord's mercy, or at least we should. And this is just a great devotion. You know, I should also point out that St. Mechtilde was never officially canonized. She's considered a saint. And her feast day is permitted in Benedictine convents on the 16th of November. And there have been several times when the church has determined sainthood by an outpouring of acclaim without formal canonization, although this form of decree remains the exception and not the rule. And this acclaim must be accompanied by testimony and a known verified life of heroic sanctity, which, of course, we have with St. Mechtilde, thank goodness, because of the writings. One being so acclaimed to die in what is called the odor of sanctity and or have proven miracles. And in the earlier periods of the church, the formal process of canonization had not been really firmly established to have what we have today. So today, such an outpouring might be suspect. We have greater means now through which to canonize saints. So I don't think we'd see that again going forward. But I did, just so our listeners know, this did happen in the early days of our church.
Wow. Well, all the more reason to say,
St. Mechtilde of Hackaborn,
pray for us.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Hey, let's memorize this verse, everybody. Come on, we can do it together. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Closing us strong, Father Mark White discusses the Courage Ministry and conference Made for More, helping people with same-sex attraction live joyfully chaste lives.
This is The Morning Quest.
We are with Father Mark White unpacking and learning more about this tremendous ministry within the church
Courage and their upcoming convention that's happening. For listeners who may not be familiar with Courage, Father, what is its mission and how does it accompany men and women experiencing same-sex attraction within the heart of the church?
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful ministry. Courage was kind of originally what was started, and then they added in Courage. Okay. So Courage is for men and women that struggle with same-sex attractions but are committed to chastity. They're committed to living, in many cases, they end up living a life of chaste celibacy that we all live at time. And they live this recognizing that, you know, that God has revealed through this cross that they carry that they're not going to be called to marriage with a member of the opposite sex, you know, and that the church through that is calling them to live a chaste life and not to accept a kind of LGBTQ identity or lifestyle and enter into that. And they're very courageous people. That's, you know, hence the title. It's a very courageous decision in a world that tells you that you can just do whatever you want. It doesn't have to be even LGBTQ. It could just be using pornography. It could just be sleeping around, whatever it is. And so these people are a reminder to us that we are to take up our crosses, and we don't choose our crosses. We do choose how we're going to respond to it. So very courageous people. Encourage is actually to support the families of people who have sometimes, in some cases, sadly, in many cases, have left the church and entered into the LGBTQ world, for so to speak, you know, accepting that identity and maybe having a long-term relationship or calling it marriage, whatnot, or just living that lifestyle. And so the desire is for the family to love them and to always have a relationship with them, but not to embrace their chosen life and identity. Realizing that as the conference title for that we got coming up, a conference retreat called Made for More. And it's you know, it's going to be a testimony to the men and women, in some cases, that are actually a part of Courage or have worked with Courage. And we're going to talk a little bit about what the ministry offers people. Right now, we have a regular meeting that people can meet for support that deal with this issue. On the second Saturday at the cathedral is when we always meet, and we meet at 11 a.m., usually goes to about 11 to 12:30. Confession is offered, and I do that. And then it's kind of lay-led. There are small groups that meet, but there's a big group. And you know, basically what we're talking about is mostly just living the faith, Josh. It's not like a bunch of political stuff or things like that. It's kind of been politicized by people that would disagree with the church's teaching. But the reality is when people come here, they're just people that are sold out for the Lord. They want to give everything to him. And they realize, too, you know, things like, hey, we're not going to be married in heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. Jesus was never married. You know, priests and religious are never married. Many of our great saints were. So you can do this. God loves you, and God can give you a rich and joyful life. Not that's easy, but a life that is truly blessed. And you'll see that in many of the lives of the people in Courage and even the family members that try to support and try to have a relationship with their child that may have left the faith. In some cases, do come back, maybe in some cases even to be a part of Courage.
Wow. And there's an upcoming convention, or is it a retreat or a convention, Father? And
yeah, it's kind of, I think we would call it more of a conference.
Conference, okay.
Although it will be a spiritual opportunity. It's called Made for More. So it's a day-long conference on faith, identity, and witness, including men and women who experience same-sex attractions who are faithfully and joyfully living the call to chastity within the Catholic Church. So the date is going to be November 22nd. It's mm-hmm. at the Chancery of the Archdiocese of Atlanta in Marietta. And if you want to register, you can go to tiny.cc and then / made for more.
Yeah.
So it's tiny.cc/made for more, and you can register for it. And so we'll have several speakers. One will be Kim Zimmer, she's been on Forum, she's been on a number, I believe, of Catholic podcasts talking about her story, and she's radically pursuing this chaste life. She was one point, she's got some ups and downs on her story, but it's a great story of just her carrying her cross and living this joyfully chaste life, trusting the Lord. And then we have Reverend Josh Johnson, very Reverend Josh Johnson. He is a priest for the Diocese of Savannah, and he's their chaplain for Courage and Encourage. He's going to speak on the transgender issue, which has become an issue that is, you know, we really weren't even talking about, really hardly ever mentioned, you know, 15 years ago, and now it's, you know, front and center. And then we also have another individual, Sam Curlin, who is going to speak. He is a member of Courage, and he's going to share his testimony on how God has, you know, given him this cross and how he's carrying it boldly and courageously and really trying to live for the Lord. And so it'll also be Mass and times of prayer. So it's an opportunity for people to really receive healing and truth rooted in Christ's love.
I know a handful of people that are encouraged, and these are heroic, courageous souls that are walking just so devoutly with the Lord and doing all that they can to abide in His will, you know, for their lives. And it is really inspiring to see these holy souls not only carry that cross, but then use it to help carry the crosses of others as they walk to embrace chastity. It's really a beautiful, beautiful ministry and just some incredible people.
It is. I mean, yeah, you know, there's a lot of pressure, you know, on them to conform to ways of thinking that have really, you know, are fairly novel, you know, to identify as homosexual as a normal thing and to get married and to even go through the process of trying to have children, two men or two women. And, you know, the church stands against this for so many reasons. It harms society, it harms the couple, harms children, it keeps us from God's plan for our lives. And, you know, we strongly disagree without being unjust in our, you know, discrimination in the sense we say that marriage is between a man and a woman. And yet just by disagreeing, you know, there's a lot of persecution that priests deal with and people in the church that support the teaching of the church, and particularly these people, as they really struggle because there are people that tell them to, you know, you shouldn't do this. You should just accept it and live this way. And they even sometimes encounter clergy that are not faithful to the church's teaching that encourage them to give up and to turn aside from God's will for their lives. And so, yeah, you want to meet some people that are really committed to their faith, you know, and you're like that and you have this same struggle. This is a meeting that can really inspire you and give you courage and hope if you've struggled, because you'll meet other people like you that have the same views, the same beliefs. You trust the church, you trust the Lord, and yet it's a heavy cross to carry, and you may need some people to walk with you, and that's what Courage and Encourage is for.
Yeah, and it's not one size fits all. I mean, I've seen people with this challenge that have actually, in multiple instances, gone back to holy and healthy marriages, and it was this issue.
Absolutely, that's possible. Yeah. And this isn't, like you said, a one size fits all. It's also not a one stop shop. You're not saying, you know, if you're dealing with this, you have to go to Courage and Encourage. It's a resource, and this conference is going to address, you know, a number of issues. And we're going to have Mass, so it's not about getting everyone to just join this. It's letting people know that this resource is available for people that are in various ways dealing with this cross that are all, you know, in many ways can all be right as long as you're trying to be chaste. And in some cases, they are meeting people and called to marriage. Others are not.
Well, this is a wonderful, wonderful ministry that you are helping lead, Father. Thank you so much. Is there a website or a page people can go to learn more?
The best way is just you can put Encourage and Encourage, type it in the web browser and put Archdiocese of Atlanta, and the information will come up. I believe it's on the web page for the Archdiocese of Atlanta as well, but you can just type it in and it'll come up. And actually, you can also even put just Made for More in and Encourage and Encourage, and the time and the link to register will come up. I just did that myself. If you're real specific and you want to type it in, it's for the conference is tiny.cc/made for more. Just for more about Courage and Encourage or the contact, just put Encourage and Encourage. Atlanta Archdiocese, it'll come right up.
Thank you so much, Father Mark White, for all you're doing. Okay. This is amazing stuff.
Thank you.
Finding joy in the journey. This is the Morning Quest.
How about that Father Mark White, huh?
What a great conversation to be having, right? And
yeah.
This wonderful opportunity to go to that retreat.
Gosh, he's incredible. And it's so inspiring to hear what he's sharing, right? The whole world is telling these courageous, heroic souls
yeah.
stepping into chastity despite this same-sex attraction that you've got no choice, just go with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's saying, hey, God's got another way and a better way.
Absolutely.
Wonderful stuff. So, hey, make sure to check that out if you or someone you know is, carrying the cross of same-sex attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Courage, just type in Courage Ministry in Google or Encourage Ministry.
Yes.
And you can also type in Made for More and you will find that website and can share it or check it out yourself.
Awesome retreat coming up.
Wonderful stuff. Well, we've had a holy day, so let's close this thing out right. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.